Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, December 6th. I'm Ray Graff. If you're looking to make some home improvements or repairs around the house, today on the show, we have the guest for you. Licensed professional engineer and construction specialist Darren Tracy is ready to answer your questions. He has extensive experience in construction, renovation, and property management and joins us to offer his expertise every so often. It's a popular show, so call early. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. I'm told that we will play another round of Name That Tool as well. You can also email voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, or call 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy and you coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Home maintenance, repair, and improvement today. We welcome back Darren Tracy. Darren is a licensed professional engineer with experience in construction, renovation, and property management. He is a Building Performance Institute certified building analyst and a licensed master plumber. He runs the West Branch Engineering Consulting and Construction Firm, and he is a director of the Capital District Chapter of the New York State Society of Professional Engineers. The number to call if you have a home improvement question, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you may email us if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. That's voxpop with a V at wamc.org. And Darren Tracy, welcome back. How are you, buddy?
Thank you, Ray. I'm doing fine.
This is a big time for you at the Capital District Chapter of New York State Society of Professional Engineers. You guys have some scholarships you handed out.
Right. We basically fundraise for high school seniors who are going to enter the field of engineering, and the candidates apply. And we had five awards. Thank you. We had five awards this year. I just want to read their names quickly.
Sure.
These outstanding individuals, incredible accomplishments, totally different than what I was in high school and maybe you too. Wow,
well,
you were
no,
probably at the top of the ladder.
I'm still that way. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay. So from Niskayuna High School was Elizabeth Tandelmeyer, going to be attending RPI, Biomedical Engineering. From Saratoga Springs, Kate Lindley, Environmental Engineering at Tufts University, plan major. From Saratoga Springs, Owen Crum, going to be studying Mechanical Engineering at Rice University.
Nice.
Solia Lamoureux from Hartford School District. It's an undecided engineering major at SU, Syracuse.
Okay.
And lastly, Vidu Pulamulu from Niskayuna is going to be attending University of Pennsylvania Bioengineering. So
fantastic. That's
great. Hats off to those individuals. Anybody that has upcoming high school seniors next year, or their children or friends or their grandchildren, they can apply to our organization and Capital District Chapter, New York State Society of Professional Engineers. Each one of these students received $1,250.
Well, that's nice.
It's not full tuition, but, $1,000 here, $1,000 there.
Absolutely.
Sooner or later, you're talking real money.
No doubt about it. You also had a great point about, you mentioned your academic prowess in high school and mine as well.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, exactly. But there are those who are maybe not going to get a scholarship, but you have ideas about what path they could take, and it's a very helpful path for society, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. We need people in the trades drastically.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a terrible problem in the construction industry, and higher education may not be for everyone, particularly when they're 18 years old. It wasn't for me. I was lucky in high school that I had a shop class in sports. Often there's no shop class. I'm not sure I would have graduated from high school, really, if it wasn't for shop class in sports. Some people are wired a little differently. I worked, and then I went back to school. And I was, at a later age, I was ready. But at 18 years old, I was not ready. So there are other opportunities. Curtis Lumber, a major building supplier in this listening audience, lots of stores. They help operate an organization called Northeastern Construction Trades Workforce Coalition, and it's mainly geared for high school students to learn and become involved in the opportunity of the trades. You can make a decent living in the trades.
Yes.
Actually, I'm so prepared here. I even brought some notes in today. The average pay for a foreman in the Albany area is $26 an hour. Average yearly income for a union carpenter is around $50,000 a year. And for an operating engineer is somebody, a grown-up that plays with bulldozers and toys, $90,000 a year.
Yeah.
So you can make money, and you can do things that you want to do. Workplace has never been safer. It's much easier in terms of manual grind than it ever has. You can learn. There's technology involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're interested in money, I mean, those are not tremendous six-figure wages, but you can make more money if that's what you're mainly interested in. You can make more money owning your own business in that industry than you can, you know, being a professional, a professor or engineer or lawyer or whatever. The opportunity, there are lots of opportunities. So I just want to make it aware. Listeners, there's probably not any 17 or 18 year olds out there listening.
Wow.
Maybe a few.
That hurts.
But maybe their parents are listening.
Okay.
Or maybe their grandparents
All
are
right.
listening. I know you want to move on, but I just want to make this. I think it's important to take away the stigma that's often associated with blue-collar workers. So that's,
and BOCES. In New York, BOCES offers all kinds of this stuff.
Yeah.
So if you have kids in school, this is an option.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, when you were in school, was BOCES, did that have some sort of like a stigma towards
it? I think so. My wife worked there for a while, not in the recent past, and you know, she was always extolling the virtues of the programs, you know.
Yeah.
I went to school so long ago, I can barely remember it.
Oh,
to be honest
yeah,
with
yeah.
You, you know.
We need to get rid of that stigma, and it starts with everybody.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, Darren Tracy, well done. Boy, you did prepare.
Yeah.
Do
you well,
have anything
it's
more?
It's like kind of dear to, somewhat dear to my heart, and it's like,
if you got
you
a
know,
few more pages, I'll go
there.
Take a break for a while. You can just go on. I'll give
I
you the
do,
mic.
But, you know, let's move on.
All right. Darren Tracy's our guest today. It's home repair, maintenance, and improvement. The number is 800-348-2551. Before we play another spirited round of Name That Tool, which is always an exciting highlight of the show, I've been back and forth via email with our first caller who has some questions for you. And I said, you know, she wrote last week, I think, and I said, you're in luck. Darren's coming on. Let's go to Gina in Rhinebeck, a little early today. Gina, hello.
Hey, guys. Darren, I've been waiting for your show. And Ray, thanks for taking my call.
You
and
bet.
Darren, I just want to give you a thank you for helping with all our youth. I'm totally on board with that. Okay, so here's my problem. It's a horrible story. We changed our heating from oil to propane about 2 years ago. All good, no problems. But remember last January and it was like minus something for like a week or 2 weeks? The furnace stopped working and my fabulous furnace guy, Phil, came and found out the problem. And oh, this is where my nightmare starts.
Uh-oh.
A rat had gotten in. There's this intake and outtake piping that goes to the exterior of the house.
Right, right.
And they had pulled off or gnawed through that stainless steel mesh cover.
Okay.
And a rat had crawled into the furnace. And when the furnace started, it caught on fire. So
the good news is
the rat was burned up totally. That's the good news. But it cracked the base of the furnace, so we had to get a new one. And Phil did it. We didn't even have any burst pipes or anything. But so now I'm obsessive about going out and checking that outlet thing to make sure that the cover is still on it, and it's an old house with a stone foundation, like 1870s or whatever. So now I kind of want to learn how furnaces work. Like, if you have, say, okay, I found out the New York Times had an article that the best temperature to sleep at is 64 degrees. And so here is my second part. This is why I couldn't even put this in an email. I'm sorry. My husband, now we have marital problems because my husband likes it warm. I like it cold. But my thought is this. If we say we set it at 64, what happens with a thermostat? Like, why, how does it have to go a certain amount below that 64 before the setting? Does it have to go below a certain amount? And then does it go just to that? And then does it just wait till the house cools off before it clicks back on? And secondarily, is trying to save on heating. I like it down, like I'll put it to 58 at night and then turn it up in the morning when I get up. But is there a sweet spot where the amount of oil or heat or electricity that you use to bring it up from 58, the amount that you save by turning it down so low? Am I making any sense at all?
I don't know. My head's spinning right now. I don't know. Darren, are you making any sense of this?
I've got the gist of it. So
save energy by turning it down low.
Okay, we've had that question before.
The short answer is you do save energy by setting back the heat. How much is a function of how long it takes your house to warm up in the morning to make it comfortable for you when you awake. Mm-hmm. For instance, it's wise to set back. And you know, I reviewed this just a few weeks ago, and I think it's around 10% you can save by setting your thermostat back. Of course, that's a generality.
Right.
It varies
right.
from home to home.
Mm-hmm.
But I highly suggest getting a programmable thermostat. They're not that much money. They will pay back within 1 year. So generally set your thermos back at night to something that you're comfortable with. And, you know, if you're tucked in bed, you don't need it that warm. And if you get up at, say, 6 in the morning, you want to program mm-hmm. that such that if it takes an hour to get it back up to 68 degrees, what you like or what your husband likes or what your mm-hmm. what compromise you have for your marital relationship, then set it at that time, okay?
Okay.
Thank you,
But
Darren.
Yes, set it back, and you can save roughly 10%, and how much you set it back is a function of the time it takes to get it up to the temperature you want.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Now, on the different types of furnaces, there are different types of furnaces. The type that you described is a high efficiency condensing furnace where it intakes air from the outside so that mm-hmm. you're not wasting the air in your home that's already warmed. It brings that cool air in and exhausts it out separately with mm-hmm. their own piping systems. That's probably what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's an anomaly that a rat chewed the stainless steel off and entered your system. I've never heard anything like that before, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. Just make sure you've got a new screen on there, and it's highly unlikely that would ever happen again.
Well, the rats in Rhinebeck are very tenacious. I mean, it's well known.
Okay.
You know, I bought 12 cans of that expanding foam, and I sealed up every conceivable spot where anything could ever get in. So, God. Okay, I'll try and let it go, Darren. I appreciate that very much.
Gina, we got to take a break here, but how did you know that the rat caught on fire?
Because Phil, the furnace guy, we were away. Phil, the furnace guy, took the furnace apart and found the burned-up rat in the nest.
Yikes. Okay, well, that is disgusting. I'm glad you didn't write that in the emails. Because, number one, the question was so long, it would have been longer than the Encyclopedia Britannica. But still.
I know. Happy holidays, you guys.
And to you. Thanks for calling. 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy. Wow, we're off to a real good start.
That's a good one.
Darren Tracy's our guest. What fresh hell awaits? We'll find out. Dreamsville, that's Henry Mancini. Listening to Gina's call, I was heading to Dreamsville, but we're back now with Darren Tracy. It's Home Improvement today. And, you know, we're going to play Name That Tool in a moment, but let's read a couple of emails here. This one came in way early. At your last visit, I asked about the following. I have a half bath on the second floor and full bath on the first floor. Sometimes when the toilet on the second floor is flushed, the first floor toilet bowl water bubbles, the tub or sinks are unaffected. The second floor toilet drain line goes about 4 feet horizontally under the floor to a T. Waste goes down at the T, and the only drain system vent goes up from the T through the roof. I suspect the first floor toilet bubbling is caused by the slug of waste going down from the second floor T and compressing the air volume below it, forcing it to bubble up through the first floor toilet. If that's true, how can I fix the bubbling toilet without running a separate vent line? We talked about this. Today's question from Bill in Johnstown. Presuming the above diagnosis is true, rather than run another vent line through the interior of the house and through the roof, can I connect a vent line from the high point in the basement waste main piping, then run this vent through the basement and basement wall and then up the side of the house to a few feet above the roof on the gabled side of the house? That's from Bill.
You could probably do that, but I think that problem was solved, and it wasn't a vent problem. When I left, I think I got a call or something about that. Well, the problem turned out to be a plug in the line.
Yeah, and that
and I failed to mention that it was a possibility.
Line.
Yeah. So it was like a Roto-Rooter to the septic tank. So
okay.
I was actually going to mention that, but I forgot about it. Yeah, that might help. That might help. But if you've solved the problem with the Roto-Rooter, you won't need to go to that expense.
All right, fair enough. Let's do another email here, and then it's Name That Tool. And then we hit the phones at 800-348-2551. Bathroom sink is leaking. That's from Tim in Latham. Cannot figure out how to remove the handles on the faucet in our bathroom to replace the cartridge so it'll stop leaking. No matter where I look, I could not find a place where there might be a way to unscrew these fixtures. Is it possible that I'd need to remove the connections under the sink to remove the entire faucet, or am I just missing something? I'll add that you can unscrew the handle, but only the handlebar comes off, not the whole handle. And that's from Tim in Latham.
Yeah, I'm not following that. Only the handlebar comes off and not the whole handle. More than likely, there is a set screw or a knob, a hidden recess knob or something that pops off and you can access a screw and take it off.
All right. Good luck with that, Tim. Appreciate the email. The email address here is voxpop@wamc.org. Voxpop@wamc.org. The number is 800-348-2551. Do you hear servos moving around? Oh, we must be moving the cameras. Hello.
I heard something.
To the two people who are watching online at WAMC.org.
Oh, they're cheating with the Name the Tool then.
Oh, that, yes.
I'm going to cover it up with paper.
Oh, yes. All right, there you go. Let's do Name That Tool. Darren Tracy, show it to me, and I'll tell you.
Okay, I'm going to show it to you, but we're going to have some. You cheated a little bit last time because I only want you to describe.
Oh, you don't want
with adjectives.
Okay.
What it looks like, not
okay.
What it does.
All right.
And
to me, this looks like a dull straight.
No. You not what it looks like. It's like last time. Just for instance, last time you said, "Well, this is a scraper." Of some, I don't want you to say what it is or does. I want you to describe it. It's brown. The length.
Okay.
The
it's
color.
Brown, it's got a metal.
The shape. That type of thing.
Oh, you're killing me. We got to rehearse this stuff.
Okay.
It's got a brown wooden handle. It looks fairly well used. It has a wing nut which adjusts the length of a looks. It's a metal piece. It's flat. I don't want to give anything
this
away.
This is good. This is good.
It looks like a, you know. It's not a blade, but it looks like it could be a, you know, the Jolly Green Giant switchblade. Okay?
That's great.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Is that good?
I think it's
all
good.
All right, fine. Name That Tool, 800-348-2551. Don't give it away now. If they're watching online, you got to catch it, cover it up. This has already been really, really bizarre, this show. Thanks to Gina and the burned rat, we got off to a good start. Christopher in Kingston, you're on.
Hi, Darren and Ray.
Hi.
I have a raised ranch house, about 1,800 square feet, and it's got cedar shake siding, which is now kind of getting older and in need of replacement. And I've been getting quotes, which are horrendously expensive for composite siding. And I was just wondering, Is this something I would be able to do as a person with some skills, handy skills, but certainly not an expert?
Absolutely. Pretty easy to do, Christopher. You'd want a pneumatic air nailer, and those are relatively inexpensive. You want hot-dip galvanized nails. You want to have some shakes, the new shakes that go back on. I would recommend dipping them unless you're going to have them a natural look. If you're going to stain them, you want to dip them in a bucket versus painting them after. Dip them twice, and they'll last you the rest of your lifetime.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
Logistical question. You dip the shake in a bucket.
Yeah.
How do you get it out without getting stuff on your hands?
Well, you do. I mean, it's generally...
Well, that's no good.
Well, that's okay.
There's got to be a better way.
You wear these little latex gloves.
Guys, can I just say that I was thinking about replacing them with composite siding that, you know, like the cement, you know, the new composite sidings that they have, not replacing them with cedar shakes.
But I wanted to talk about replacing them with natural cedar shakes.
Well, why don't you help Christopher?
Okay. All right. Those composite ones, you know, I haven't used those. My brother had cedar shakes on his house. He just replaced them, and he was going to use not a composite, but like a fake cedar shake, a panel. And he changed his mind at the last minute because of the expense. But the composite, I don't know that much about them. I would expect that they would last quite a while and be relatively easy. The installation would be similar to a cedar shake from a cedar tree. And
would you recommend that, though? Do you like the composite? I love the composite materials that are out there now. Are you a fan?
Not necessarily a fan. I'm not a big fan of wood, but if you're clapboard siding, because you have to paint it every so often, no matter what. But with cedar shakes, if you double dip them with a good product and put those on, they will last a long, long, long time.
Okay.
Man-made. Anyways, on the installation, whether a do-it-yourselfer can do it, it's relatively easy. And you can do it in segments, too, because you just pick a section of your building, pull some off, and you want to make sure, take it in consideration, your corners. How are you going to do your corners? Typically, you'd have a trim board. They can be weaved. That's more complicated. I'd suggest just a trim board. Make sure you have a plumb level line. You can take a piece of furring and tack it on to create a plumb level line. Then you take your shakes and you just set them on top of that piece of furring and nail away one right after another. It's pretty easy to do.
Okay.
It's almost fun.
All right. Now, if he goes with the composite, same procedure you outlined,
pretty much the
with
same
the nails,
procedure.
The double dip
maybe you could use screws with those. I'm not sure, but I would, if you're going to do that, Christopher, I would suggest considering insulating the exterior of your home, because it's one of the few opportunities you'll have to put a blanket on your house. It's relatively inexpensive, and it's the best way to insulate your home is put the insulation as far on the outside of the framing.
All right, Christopher, thanks a lot for the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. We have several people who have emailed about the name that tool.
Okay.
And they've all given the same answer. Brett, Scott, Stewart, and Chris all say it is a carpenter's angle finder.
Well, they're close, but I'm looking for the precise name of that tool that has a particular name.
Okay, so it might be that, but
it is that, but it has, like, last week we had a 5-in-1 paint scraper.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was not just a paint scraper, it was called a 5-in-1 tool. So
this
is an angle finder, but it has a particular name.
Okay, there you go. 800-348-2551. So you're on the right track there, Brett, Scott, Stewart, and Chris. Let's go to Lisa in Saratoga Springs. Hello, Lisa. You're on.
Hi. Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So I have a 100-year-old home that had a garage. The home itself is masonry. And I'm wondering if I need gutters over the garage, which does not have a basement under it.
I would say it's less necessary because it does not have a basement, But gutters do help regarding splashing up of the water onto the masonry, and then you have freeze-thaw cycles in this climate, so that's detrimental. But there's one way around that. You could spray that masonry with a product called silane or siloxane, which is a clear water repellent.
Ooh.
You can't see it on there, and it has this beauty that it's moisture permeable.
Uh-huh.
It means moisture can travel in and out and not be trapped in the face. You wouldn't want to put any coating on there that traps the moisture in the face, because moisture can move on the outside in the winter, be trapped, freeze, and pop the face off. That's what you see often in some of these older historic brick buildings, particularly around bathrooms or up high.
Yeah.
People have made the mistake of trapping that moisture in, and it destroys the brick. So normally I like gutters, but you have to clean them out. Especially with a basement, because it manages the water and gets it away. But since you have a slab on grade, not as important. Don't think they're necessary. You may want to consider the silane or siloxane.
Okay, Lisa, you want to follow up?
Could you spell that again?
S-I-L-O-X-A-N-E. S-I-L-O-X-A-N-E. And I should say...
And you put it on the entire house? Or
no, I'd put it just on the bottom 2 feet, where the splash line. Yeah, you could do that. We've done that. We did that in Skidmore College, many of the buildings, and because the brick deteriorates over time with that freeze-thaw cycle.
Right.
You put that stuff on, it rains, it'll splash up, and you can see it beat off. It's great stuff. And I will say,
Is it painted on or sprayed,
sprayed on? Just put it on a little home sprayer, gallon, 2 gallon sprayer. Okay. It's easy to do.
Splendid. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You mentioned Lisa from Saratoga.
My grandmother lived in Watertown, New York, and she didn't have gutters because she used to say they're worse when they, back up and you get leaves and they can do more harm. And she had a stucco home like mine. But I generally, everybody, has gutters. So
right.
The part of my house over my basement has gutters,
uh-huh.
But now I have to decide about the garage.
There you go.
Okay. So I will say about gutters, they can do harm, more harm than good if they're not maintained. But what I did want to say, I caused a problem there because I mentioned the name Lisa. You said Lisa from Saratoga Springs. I was like, my wife's name is Lisa. She's from Saratoga Springs. What is she calling about? I'm in trouble.
This is not
wife. This is not my wife.
All right, fair enough.
Not likely calling.
Small world. Two Lisas in Saratoga Springs. Lisa, thanks a lot for that one. 800-348-2551 is the number. Somebody's got a guess on the name of that tool. We're going to go to Dave in Rensselaerville. Dave, you're on.
Hey. My guess is a bevel gauge or a sliding T bevel.
Bing, 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 bingo, bingo. Yeah, it. Sliding T bevel. That's it.
All right. Well, you get no prize at all, Dave, but you don't get any scorn, so you win.
Fair enough.
Thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. 800. And now all the people hung up because they all wanted to guess. The number is 800-348-2551. Darren Tracy's our guest. Congratulations to Dave in Rensselaerville, who gets the home version of this game.
I like your description of the Jolly Green Giant jackknife.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
all right.
It looks like that.
I said switchblade, but
switchblade.
You know,
okay.
It's a more violent angle on the whole thing. Let's go to Judith in Woodstock. Judith, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Several years ago, we had an extension put on our house. So where the deck was this new extension, addition. And the problem is, first of all, I won't get into it. But anyway, the floor, our floor now in that area is so cold. I don't know if they put insulation in it or if they didn't. But it is freezing, and all it does is, first of all, it makes me cold, and I have chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, so I don't need this grief. But it saps our heating energy and makes our energy bill higher.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Yes. I'm just thinking that's unfortunate. It sounds like, probably wasn't a full basement addition. It might have been a slab on grade.
Right.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because if it was a basement addition or even a crawl space, you could get down in there and insulate and help solve your problem. Because the slab is more difficult to, you can't put insulation underneath your slab now because your slabs are.
Well,
here's what you can do.
Slab.
Here's what you can do.
They didn't do a slab.
They didn't.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said they did. What type of construction is
it? They did not put a wood construction.
It's wood. Okay, so if it's wood, then there is some sort of crawl space underneath it.
Okay.
So you're in luck. So you can somehow get into that space below the floor, and you want to insulate the perimeter of that, the vertical wall below the floor. You want to insulate that with 2-inch extruded polystyrene insulation. Seal it up tight, all the joints sealed up tight. You want to make sure there's
moisture. Is that a spray?
No, it's sheet goods, 2x8 sheets.
A foam board?
Foam board, yep. Various thicknesses, half inch up to 2 inches. I would suggest 2-inch. You can get in there, get somebody skinny to get in there and install it at each joint. You want to use spray foam in a can.
They're going to have to take off the siding in the back of the house under the windows to get in there.
Well, they may have to. That might be what they have to do for access.
Yeah.
But if you want to improve the comfort of your home and make it more energy efficient, that's the thing to do. Rigid insulation around the perimeter, vapor barrier on the floor.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Judith. Appreciate the call. Before we take a break here, Lee in Oneonta wrote a very similar question. He wrote conditioned crawl space as the subject heading. In the past, you've recommended that I condition the crawl space with rigid foam boards. From my research, I'm thinking XPS 2 inches thick, which is what you just said. And Lee goes on, would it be beneficial using 1-inch and overlapping seams, or is this overkill?
It's probably overkill.
You think so?
In that area, it's probably overkill. On a roof, You'd want to do that. If you're insulating a roof, top of your roof sheathing with rigid insulation, it's suggested to, if you're going to put 4 inches up there, use 2 layers of 2-inch and stagger the joints. But it's probably overkill. And you're working down in that space. It's tough to do a good job. I just think 1 layer of 2-inch and seal up the perimeters of all those boards with spray foam so they're tight, and that would be what I would do and I would recommend.
And Lee also asks, a friend recommended that I use Reflectex foil insulation between the floor joist. Is that necessary? And that is
from Lee
in Oneonta.
No, you wouldn't want to do that because you're insulating, you're conditioning that space. You're making that space like a basement. It's like a miniature basement, turning the crawl space into a miniature basement. You want to insulate the perimeter wall, not the underside of the floor.
All right, fair enough. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the number. Darren Tracy's our guest. It's Home Maintenance, Repair, and Improvement. We'll be back. Box Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. It's Darren Tracy time. Home maintenance, repair, and improvement at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or email us, voxpop@wamc.org. And somebody just wrote in, my parents used a double-zone electric blanket, and we're married over 50 years. Once they had a problem, one first cold night, they hooked the electric blanket up and went to bed. My dad was hot, so he turned his dial down. My mom was cold, so she turned her dial up. This kept happening until they realized the controls were on the wrong sides.
That's hilarious.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go back to our phone lines with Darren Tracy. We'll go to Albany and Deborah. Deborah, you're on.
Hi, I just wanted to follow up on the call from the person who was having trouble finding the screw for taking off the faucet.
Okay.
And we went through this recently. We have a wonderful plumber, And because the left faucet was just leaking slightly when you would turn it on, and it's only about 10 years old, and we could not figure out a way to get the faucet off. And he said he was very exasperated at the designers, because he said the designers have all felt that, you know, having the screws on the inside is more attractive. But the problem is, if you have a little leak going on, you get that white stuff build up, and then you just can't unscrew the faucet directly because it's stuck. So he said he'd do it with a wrench, but he warned me that we might need to replace it if the wrench marred the stainless steel handle. So because he's so good, he was able to take it off, and the faucet still looked fine, but the screw was underneath. And so once we got in there, we were able to tighten it in a second with a screwdriver.
Okay. Was it accessible with a screwdriver, or did you have to take something off, pop something off?
Once we got the faucet off, because there was no visible screw for tightening the faucet itself, then we were able to see where we could tighten it underneath.
So you removed the faucet in its entirety?
I don't know what that white stuff is.
You removed the faucet in its entirety?
I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Well, Deborah,
we had to do it with a wrench because there was no way to, you know, to normally unscrew any piece of it, because it was all underneath the faucet cover.
I see. Thank you
for
that.
Makes sense. Thanks, Deborah. Appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Darren Tracy's the guest. Westfield, Massachusetts is a place, and Stephen's there. Stephen, you're on.
Yes, I just would like the name of that spray you were talking about. Instead of a gutter, you got that spray that you spray on the foundations or on the walls or something?
Yes, it's called Siloxane, Siloxane. It's a silicone base. Another very similar product is called Silane, Silane. One is preferable for brick and one is preferable for concrete, and I can't remember which is which, but Siloxane or Silane, Silane.
All right, Stephen.
Silane or
I'll do it one more time. You know what? I'll put it up on my... I put it up on my website.
That's
How about
great.
I do that?
You know what? That's a nice seg. So, yeah. Stephen, thank you very much for the call. This is interesting. You just made a great point. You put a great video up on your YouTube page, which I put that link on our webpage today for today's show.
Okay.
Very nice work. That's a new one?
Yeah, I just did that yesterday. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, we had
Andy
a call
stuff.
About what people can do preventatively in their plumbing systems, and one of the things you can do is occasionally drain out your hot water tank to get the sediments out and extend the longevity and maybe minimize the mineral smell or aroma in the water.
Very handy indeed. Yeah. And you can go to WAMC.org, click on today's page, and you will see that link and also a link to Darren's various websites and, You help a lot of people with these videos.
Yeah, check out those YouTubes because I like making them. I've got a whole bunch of them in queue to make. And as I've said before, they're a direct offspring or offshoot of this program. People asking, oh, I'll put together a video of this. So just look up, go to YouTube and search Darren Tracy Engineer, and you'll find my YouTubes.
All right, this email from Krista in Lake Luzerne. Beautiful Lake Luzerne, my word. Subject heading root cellar. Can you build a root cellar in your home? We have a heated semi-finished basement. I want a place to overwinter plants and store canned food. Curious if this might even be an option.
Probably not easily. It's probably easier to do it outside. Inside your home, I would assume that you would have a basement. So you would have to either cut out a segment of your wall and build a root cellar, or maybe you could, in the corner of your basement, fabricate something that replicated the environmental conditions of a root cellar. I actually checked into doing that sometime. It seemed like a whole lot of work to do that, but probably better off doing it outside.
You know, it occurs to me that back in the 50s, people were building fallout shelters left and right.
Yeah.
And so that must have been a real good industry for a while.
It may have been. I've had a couple calls about that.
Fallout shelters?
Yeah, failing.
I want one.
Yeah.
I want to have one in my house. And, let's talk about that after the show. Paul's in Altamont. Paul.
Hi, Ray.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, Darren. I have a 1903 two-story house with a another level on top, so it's kind of long, tall, narrow. That's the walk-up attic, and it's got a slate roof, and the slate roof dumps all of its water down along the sides of the foundation. And so I'm calling because I think you had mentioned in closing one show or just made a passing reference to doing a berm instead of trenching. I can't trench at least on one side because the gas line goes right where the trench line has to be, and it's right where the drip line is. So is that true, or did I mishear you? Is there an alternative to trenching to keep water away? This house has never had, by the way, the house has never had any gutters. It's never had any trenching work or, underground pipes to lead the water away. It's just dealt with it, and I don't think it's a good idea.
Okay.
I'd like to move that water away.
Yes, Paul, there are options, alternatives to installing a trench to direct the water away. What you want to do is install impermeable membrane. Sometimes I see in houses that they will blacktop right up to the foundation or pour a concrete pad, maybe 1 or 2 feet wide underneath the drip line and direct the water away from the foundation. That actually works quite well. Maybe not that appealing to the eye, but another way is to excavate the dirt down a few inches and install an impermeable layer of 6 mil polyethylene plastic and pitch that away from the foundation a distance of maybe 3 feet. And then you could cover that poly back up with, say, pea stone or bark mulch or even soil and grow grass, but try to grow grass. That is a way the water will go down through the pea stone or through the bark mulch to that impermeable layer, and because it's tapered away from the foundation, shed away from the foundation.
Okay.
So that's very helpful. Also, if you're doing that, you may want to even install rigid insulation, the same type of extruded insulation that we were just talking about for a crawl space. Lay that down horizontally. That is an impermeable layer and also adds insulation. So if you're doing that, we're doing the excavation work anyways, then you can add that energy efficient measure and probably use a 6 mil poly too, because the joints in that insulation would leak and allow water to go through. So
okay. All right, David, I should say Paul, thank you for the call. And we lost our caller. I was just about to go in Connecticut. He was going to ask about whether it was a wise move to buy a 1694 house for rehab or whether he's asking for a lot of trouble. He just hung up.
1694. There are not many of those kicking around.
No.
Really like to learn more about. I've had
unless
an interest of these in these old houses just because I've worked on so many over the years. 1694, probably built by the Dutch.
It's possible that Andrea had dyslexia and it was actually 1964. No, it was 1694. All right. Well, maybe Chris in Connecticut
maybe
will call back.
Maybe you can call back or you can email me.
All right. Let's go to Patrick in Brunswick. Patrick.
I have a question about a grinder pump. I'm on public sewer, and I'm just curious. I'm told I need a grinder pump. Why would that be?
You would need a grinder pump probably because you do not have the required difference in elevation for gravity sewer to operate, meaning the sewer line is higher than the sewer line in your house. So you need a grinder pump to grind up the sewage and pump it out to the sewer main.
Uh-huh.
And there's a company locally here in Albany that makes them called Environment One. Not pushing that. I'm just saying that
there are others
out there.
All right, Patrick, you want to follow up?
What is the failure rate? Or what happens if they fail?
Can be a problem if they fail. They do have alarms associated with them. I think there are a couple different types. You could install them outside the basement, I think, and those are less problematic than installing directly in your basement for obvious reasons. But they're pretty rugged units. Should service them and routinely and not overburden them with pouring excess amount of grease down them, that type of thing. But they're pretty durable.
All right, Patrick, thanks for the call. Let's go now to either Greenwich, New York or Greenwich, Connecticut. I never know. Carol, where are you?
Hello.
Hello. Are you in Greenwich, New York or Greenwich, Connecticut?
I'm in Greenwich, New York.
You're on
Greenwich,
the air.
Greenwich, not Greenwich.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, my house is built in three sections, and above the entryway, it is a joining of balloon framing and timber framing. And a bathroom was created, probably around 1920. So we've been trying to work on it. Now we have an exterior wall, plath and laster removed, and we're down to tar paper. I know from the outside that the tar paper has that funny gray shingling and then just the aluminum siding over it. How do we go about insulating from the inside? Because I know we need some kind of vapor barrier and the insulation and then to the, the drywall. But I don't know exactly the sequencing or the best way to approach it.
Mm. Okay, Carol. You would insulate that cavity with fiberglass bat insulation or blown insulation or a mineral insulation called Roxel is one of the manufacturers. It's a generic name. But I would check out Roxel insulation. It works pretty well. It's a little bit more than fiberglass insulation, but it makes a tighter seal, easier to work with. So that would be your insulation. And you would not want to add any vapor barrier in that cavity. What would act as your vapor barrier would be the latex paint on your drywall. You want to seal up your drywall tight, caulk down at the bottom at the floor so that its air is not moving, and that paint is vapor barrier enough. That tar paper on the outside is actually pretty, it sounds inexpensive, like it has that association of tar paper shack, but it's a pretty good product on the outside as an air barrier and protectant to the wood. So,
all right.
Cavity insulation.
Okay.
Carol, you want to follow up?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And yes, my daughters use the rock wool, and because it's supposed to be mouse deterrent or not as friendly, all the old fiberglass insulation that we have encountered has just been horrible.
Right.
So I will definitely go with the rock wool. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Quickly to Jan and Latham. Jan, you're on.
Oh, hi. I'm so glad you took my call. I have a sump pump that's not behaving well at all and a high-efficiency furnace putting out lots of water. So I don't know to get the plumber's product or my own. Just go buy one at Home Depot.
The furnace?
Okay, you said it was a high-efficiency
furnace that's putting out a lot of water this week. I don't know.
Okay, so
and the sump pump's not working.
Okay, I get you. So we were talking about that high-efficiency furnace before. One of the characteristics of that is it creates condensate, and there's a condensate pump that's part of that unit, and that should be pumped outside, into the outdoors, or it's a small amount can go in your sewage system. I believe that's code appropriate for that amount.
Okay.
Sounds like that's just being pumped into their sump pump area, and that's not appropriate to do. Also, I'd suggest having an alternate sump pump if you can have two there, one as a safety. If it's really important, you have a finished basement, and it would be a disaster if you flooded, you might want to have an alternate sump pump.
Oh, so the furnace should actually go to the outside directly?
Yes, especially if you're having problems with it filling up your sump. I'm a little surprised because they don't put out that much water.
Do you think there might be a little...
that's the other issue.
Technical issue with
that? There might be something else going on.
Might want to check that out.
Mm.
All right, Jan.
All right, I will get a furnace person, too. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for the call. Very quickly, an email here. Don't know who this is from. I have a 40-plus-year-old natural gas boiler venting through a chimney from the basement to above. Second floor, the chimney is lined with tile. Do I need some kind of liner in the chimney if I replace it with a new, more efficient boiler?
A newer, more efficient boiler would
85% or more is what he said.
Yeah. Well, it's an you could use it. You can get a new atmospheric boiler, and you could use that existing flue if it's in good condition. A liner is always a good idea. Lots of new furnaces are more energy efficient than that, and are these condensing boilers, what I was just referring to. And they don't use those old flues that go up through. They use PVC pipes that just go out the wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, the two different animals there, I'd suggest you research those.
And last question, very quickly, from Aaron in Greenfield. What kind of insulation do you recommend for filling the wall cavity around a dryer vent? Would the typical pink fiberglass insulation be acceptable, or would maybe rock or mineral wool be more fire resistant?
I would go with a rock or minimal wool.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we're done here, Darren. That was a fun show.
Okay, thank you.
And put that, whatever that thing is, what is it, T-square? No, what is that thing?
Sliding T-bevel.
Okay, yes. Don't walk down the street with that. Someone will challenge you to a fight. Well, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next time. Have a great holiday season. We'll see you next year.
Okay, thanks, Ray.
Support comes from Sullivan Catskills, a place where visitors can recharge and unwind. Travel information now available on the Sullivan Catskills Go app on iOS and Android, and at SullivanCatskills.com. Once again, thanks to Darren Tracy for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for all the calls. Sorry if we didn't get to yours. We will do this one again very soon with Darren Tracy. Thanks to Roberto Chacon, who has been doing some real yeoman work here this week, filling in for Zachary T. Malloy. Thanks to Andrea Leon, who screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Oh, this is timely. Tomorrow, we talk taxes and get some tax tips from Judy Cahey and Dawn Doherty. We'll see you at 2 for that one.